Amen. Well, the book of Ruth finds its greatest beauty for sure in displaying to us who Jesus Christ is. It gives us a picture of his protection and provision for us as his bride. And I don't want to forget that. And I think we'll be spending just a little bit more time in that direction tonight than we have in other ways. But second to that, and extremely vital, is the picture that it gives to us of the character traits of biblical masculinity and biblical femininity that we see in Boaz and Ruth. They're striking examples that give us much to observe and learn. And so there's this kind of this dual purpose of Ruth. And the last couple times that we've met, we've kind of focused on the practical character traits in Ruth and Boaz. And we're going to look at a couple of those tonight as well. But we're also going to really, we're going to see a picture of who Jesus is as well for us. If you can remember from last time together, Boaz was a single, wealthy, generous, honorable man that meets Ruth, the hardworking, kind, beautiful widow. Her husband had passed away in Moab, and she was now in Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And soon after Boaz discovers Ruth in his field, they enjoy lunch together. And Boaz generously provides for the meal. He also ensures that she and Naomi are taken care of and protected from any of the young men in other fields that may want to assault her. So he provides for her, he protects her. And it was quite a dramatic lunch, as we read last time when they got together, where Boaz reveals that he knows who she is and how her kindness has been displayed towards her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she responds that his words were direct and comforted her. So you can imagine, as Boaz is sitting next to her in the field and they're eating together, and he ensures that she eats well and then meets her needs without ever being asked. What a kind of a fun story this is. We can envision it. This is like a real story that happened. So let's do this. Let's pick it up. This story up as lunch ends with Boaz making sure that Ruth receives the best of the grain. If you can remember, he said, hey, you guys take some of what was in the sheaves, the best of the grain, and leave it for her, and don't reproach her. Don't embarrass her for taking the best of that grain. And that's how the lunch ended. Again, kind of a fun romantic lunch probably. But in verse 17, we read that, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned. So I'm going to just kind of give us a brief overview, and then we're going to dive into the details of it in just a second. So Ruth works the rest of the day gleaning and preparing the barley. She started, if you can remember, it says in the early morning, and now she's working until evening or dusk. After working all day long, she comes home and Naomi is stunned at how much she has been able to glean and how much she has collected through the day. Maybe the son's sick and getting sicker, didn't work as hard as Ruth did, maybe weren't as blessed as Ruth was. But either way, Naomi is like, where on earth did you work and who noticed you? Instantly, Naomi realizes that someone has noticed Ruth and provided in an extraordinary manner. And she wants to know who it is. You can just imagine, this is a real woman. It's a real mother-in-law. She wants to marry off her daughter-in-law. She's excited for Naomi. And she's like, who noticed you? Clearly, somebody did. And then Ruth drops the bomb. It was Boaz. There couldn't have been a better man to be noticed by in all of Israel, probably. He was extremely well-respected, and he was wealthy, and he was a bachelor. And little did Ruth or Naomi know that the Spirit of God had led her to that field and to the field of a man who could not only allow her a place to forage for food and that kind of thing, but under the law would redeem her, marry her, bring her into his family, and unbeknownst to either Boaz or Ruth, bring her into the lineage of Israel's greatest earthly king, King David, and ultimately the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Nobody knew any of this that was going on. Obviously, God did. But Naomi realizes that the kindness that Boaz displays is rooted in his commitment to the provision in Israel's social laws given by God to her deceased husband as well as directly her. She says it's been given, his kindness has been displayed to the living and the dead. She knew exactly what Boaz was doing. He was obeying the law that God had given Israel to provide for a widow. And so chapter 2 closes with Ruth telling Naomi just the magnitude of who this Boaz is and introduces the word redeemer for the first time to Ruth, or kinsman redeemer to Ruth. So let's go through these verses a little bit closer and do that. And the reason why I kind of want to just give an overview is sometimes if we dive in too soon, too close, we can't see the broad picture of this story as it unfolds in a real life kind of romantic journey for Ruth. And I think it's a great story. So I want to make sure that we catch that aspect of it. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Ruth displays a couple character traits here. First of all, she's a diligent worker, even with the most mundane chores or jobs. That word glean means to slowly and carefully gather in small parts. Slowly and carefully gather in small parts. She didn't want to end up with whatever she was collecting the barley in, just full of dirt and twigs and that kind of thing. She knew she would have to separate that later. So as she gleaned through these things, she's carefully picking out the barley. She's picking up little pieces that may have seemed unimportant, but at the end of that action, truly was going to be a provision for their existence. Literally, Naomi and Ruth would live off what this little action was. Staying alive, it's kind of a big deal for us as humans, right? We have an intense desire to stay alive. At least I do. Sometimes when we see the sports that go on nowadays, we kind of wonder, like, do you even have that bone in your body that says, hey, I should probably stay alive for a bit? I don't know. Sometimes that gets put in question. But this process shows that Ruth was an extremely diligent worker, even in the mundane and small things. That's an essential aspect of what we see in the character of Ruth. There are going to be a multitude of little things, gang, that seem unimportant to you in the moment, but are ultimately going to provide in massive ways for your family, for your children, for your spouse. And I encourage you to not overlook those things. Our society is based on like in the here and the now for this moment, live everything for here. Don't worry about what's, but I'm telling you that Ruth is an exemplary standard for us, not only as women, but as men as well. And she is carefully taking the time to pull things out that are going to ultimately be the basis of their existence for Ruth and Naomi. And then says that she gleaned in the field until evening. She wasn't looking for the easy way out or the early way out. I don't know if you've ever worked with anybody in the sense of doing a project together, or it could be just putting the dishes in the dishwasher after dinner or whatever it is. But if anybody bails early on a job like that, it's always like, dude, what's your problem? And then for the kids, it's usually, well, I had to go to the bathroom, right? Any parents ever hear that one yet? It's like, yeah, your timing is perfect. I was one of those kids actually, so I'm kind of lenient in that area. My mom reminded me of that the other day. She's like, you always had to go to the bathroom directly after dinner. My argument, of course, was natural causes, but she knew better. Ruth wasn't looking for the easy way out. And, you know, that is part of our nature as humans. It says that she was doing this until evening, and that word evening described the time right between dusk and dark. And despite the clear connection that she had made with Boaz, she determined that it would be better to go back to work hard in the field, gleaning in a humble manner, than to take advantage of the situation and leave early. Such an honorable trait to work hard as a woman or a man is hard to find. And it's truly going out of style. If anybody has the responsibility to hire anybody, you can find a million employers that will lament the difficult job of finding people that just want to work hard, just are willing to stay the extra mile. And you can imagine, Ruth, this is a romantic story, right? It really is. And Ruth hits it off with Boaz. And she could have had every opportunity to just go, I got what I needed. I have a doggy bag from lunch because remember she had stuff that was left over even after being satisfied. I've got everything that I needed. I'm going to bail a little bit early. But she doesn't do that. And I want to encourage us to take this character trait to heart. Christians should be known as the hardest working and serving men and women, moms and dads that exist. Sometimes we feel like it's a failure if we have to work hard. And I get that. Sometimes I feel like, well, when's my break? When do I get to do this? And just relax. And there's something inside of us that I think kind of presses down on that. But God clearly had blessed Ruth. And Boaz clearly had been generous beyond anything that he needed to. But this kindness didn't stop her from working hard. She followed through doing her part. And so we must as well, in whatever field God has given us and the privilege to glean in. God's given you a field to glean in as a mom, as a dad. But I think it's important for us to realize that this character trait of staying even longer than she needed to is something that's honorable. She didn't want to take it for granted what had just happened between her and Boaz and the miraculous thing of walking into this field that was the field of what would be her future redeemer. Matthew Henry said, she did not make an excuse to sit still or go home till the evening. Let us work the works of him that sent us while it is yet day. She scarcely used, much less did she abuse, the kindness of Boaz. For though he ordered his servants to leave handfuls for her, she continued to glean to the evening. Then it goes on to say, at the end of verse 17, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So imagine, it's dark, or getting dark, very close to that. She's been working since early morning in the field. And then before she goes home, she takes the time to beat out the barley, to separate the grain from the chaff. So she's been working all day. She's met this incredible man. And she works throughout through up till dusk. And then she takes all that she has collected and then takes either a stick or a large stone and breaks the kernels apart so that she can take home the barley and leave the chaff. After all that was said and done, she was able to collect, it says, an ephah of barley, which was about close to 6 gallons. If we could imagine a 5 gallon drum bucket is what you pick up at Home Depot and it has a little Homer on it and it says like, let's do this, you know, whatever. That's 5 gallons. It would be 6 gallons of that, maybe close to 40 pounds of grain. But it was more than twice of what a normal worker would have ever gleaned in the field. God, through Boaz, had blessed her diligence. This would probably be enough to feed her and Naomi, they say, between 5 and 10 days. So it's a huge deal. She's been blessed. She's working hard. She's following through, and she's diligent. Ruth, I want to bring our attention to one more character trait before we get into verse 17 and 18. Ruth finished the day's work. There is some work that, if it's not finished, will not produce the desired results. We need to see it to the end to receive the blessing. Marriage is such a thing. Don't stop short because it's hard. There are couples that stop short, and it might not even be to the point of divorce, but they stop short of opening up their lives, opening up their hearts, and working hard towards a healthy marriage. And you know what's sad? Is that some of these good people who love the Lord will actually never know the full measure of blessing that God had while down here on earth through marriage. They're going to go to heaven, no doubt about it. They love the Lord. They're committed to Him. But Ruth would not have had that much grain and would not have been able to bring home that much grain ready to cook if she wouldn't have stayed throughout the whole day and then broke it up into the chaff and the barley. There's some work that just, you're not going to be able to reap the goodness of it unless you endure through the end. Parenting is such a thing. Don't give up. Work hard through to the end. We find ourselves often challenged as a parent. I know that I do. And the more kids you have, they kind of say that the strictness or whatever kind of goes downhill as the number of children increase. And that's probably good, especially for our kids. I know, there's things that that our youngest gets to do that Olivia's like, yeah, what was happening with me? Richard says the same thing, and he often calls Deborah, his oldest, the guinea pig. And now I see that more than ever. But I want to encourage you that the fruit of watching your children grow up and walk with the Lord, there's got to be a commitment to the end on that. There's no giving up. Serving at church is just another thing. Don't give up before there's fruit. I encourage you, wherever you're at, there is work that is going to feel like it's pressing in on you to slow down or give up. But the reality of it is you're not going to have as much grain, as much barley at the end of the deal unless you work through and just see it to the end. Galatians 6:9 says, and most of us know this verse, and I don't mean it as just something to say and just move on, but it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good or doing well, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." There's some people that work and then give up in such a way that they're not going to reap. You're going to go to heaven. God loves you. Your salvation is secured, but you've given up in little ways and you're not going to be able to have such a good meal based on what your work ethic is. And I want to encourage you tonight in your marriage, in your intimacy with your spouse, in your parenting, your relationships with that child that's hard, your relationships in this church that might be hard, don't give up. Set the feast. Enjoy the fruit of labor as you don't give up working hard, because you will reap. The Bible promises it. It's just going to be a matter of time. Part of our fallen nature is to steer clear of hard work and to give up and to settle for less than what God has for us and would have us press on towards. We tend to want to quit before it's done. One of a good friend of mine whose dad was a missionary, and he became one of the youngest Marine reconnaissance guys out there. He said that his dad would always say, "The world is full of starters." And it's true. And it's not just like the big end of like, I quit, I'm getting divorced. But it's those little areas that I want to encourage you tonight to press on. Let's push past those weak and flaky compulsions and move towards what God has for us in our marriages. There's just some of us that really need to do that and be encouraged to do something. We as Christians can't fall into that trap to quit. Okay, verse 17 and 18. It says, "So she gleaned in the field." Oh, I'm sorry, we're moving on. We won't want to start over again. Verses 19 and leading 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Again, I want to switch for a second into like this is a movie. Just imagine you're watching a movie. I think it would be actually a pretty great movie. I don't know if they've ever made a movie about this, but I think it would be a great movie. You can imagine Naomi's face when Ruth walks in and plops 40 pounds of grain down after one day of work. Ruth comes home late and exhausted, but not really. You can remember who she just had lunch with. I'm certain it was fresh in her mind, the engagement that she had with Boaz during the lunch break. And she plops down this food. It's ready to cook. She's been working hard. And then she brings out more food. Again, remember that little bit that she, after she was satisfied, put away the roasted grain. And Naomi knows something is up. It's just perhaps the smile that Ruth has on her face. I don't know what it was. But notice that Ruth did not hold anything back for herself. And that's going to make more of a point later on. But I want to bring all of our attention to something right now, right here. Imagine the joy and excitement and I'm sure giddiness. Ruth has not been married for some time. She was married to Sickly, or getting sick, whatever his name was. And now she's having a romantic lunch with the most wealthy, eligible bachelor in the town. Come on, people. We're humans. She was human. This is a cool thing. And she knows she has found favor with Boaz. She knows that Boaz is somebody that everybody admires and respects. And she knows that he has taken interest in her and at least knows her history. She knows that he sat beside her and comforted her with his words. Just envision the smile of delight that this woman had on her face when she walked into Naomi's home and finished out the day of work. There was no grumbling. No dragging of her feet as she gleaned the fields that day. No complaining of the heavy loads to carry home through the city. And then think of her as she walked in and shared with Naomi more food than they'd needed. The weary shoulders from beating the barley were a distant memory. Long forgotten was the memory or the idea of having to bend over and pick up every piece of grain that day. Those are gone. How can this be? How can a woman get up early in the morning, work all day long, through the night, come in the door, and the woman who knows her best says, "Where were you? And who noticed you?" Here's what I think it's important to look at Christ in our understanding of this book. We're going to go from the practical understanding of Ruth and Boaz's character traits to truly looking at the most beautiful aspect of this book, which is Jesus Christ. Boaz is truly a picture of Jesus Christ and Ruth, the bride of Christ, you and me. And we have much to do down here. And there is work to be done to keep our kids clothed and with shoes on. There's work to be done to pay our bills and to keep our cars running and a roof over our head. And there's more work than that. You guys it's Friday night. You know what the work week is like. There's work of the ministry, which many of you participate in. Many of the people that I see sitting out here tonight work hard serving here. There's the work of evangelism. There's the work of serving others. There's the work of missions. It's a lot. There's a lot of work to be done, even if it's just in your own household. And just like Ruth's workload, sometimes it feels like it's from early morning to late at night. And listen, Boaz could have sent his servants to dump 500 pounds of barley ready to cook right off at Naomi's front door. He could have done that like that, but he didn't. And neither does Christ. He calls us to his field. He notices us like Boaz notices Ruth. He comforts us like Boaz comforted Ruth. He provides for us and protects us like Boaz did for Ruth. And he gives us abundance without any strings attached. Boaz wasn't making this something where many men, we even have laws against it in the United States, of people in power abusing that power for gain. He wasn't doing any of that. He had power. He had ability to provide, and there was no strings attached. Christ asks us to work hard as well. And when I say hard, I mean hard. Like, he asks us to work hard. The work of setting our mind on things above and not on things below. The work of controlling our mind and controlling our actions. The work of staying in fellowship and seeking after the Lord. The work of reading the Bible. The work of praying. The work of serving. These things are real work. If they weren't, they wouldn't be called the race. Paul wouldn't have said, I have run the race. It would be like, I sauntered home. I was enjoying the slow walk down the beach to heaven. It's not that. It was a race. It was a fight. It was a labor. The work, we need to understand something. When Christ asks us to work and to labor with him, there's not something wrong. But the question is, how do we not fold under the toil and work that happens day in and day out? Here's the thing. We need to be working with the right field owner. What if Ruth went to the wrong field? What if she was working for Benjamin? You know, I'm sure there was a Benjamin over there at that time, or maybe Eli or whatever. What if it wasn't Boaz? Listen, the work would have been harder, yet not nearly as fruitful or enjoyable, and perhaps even dangerous. She was provided and protected by being in the right field. She could handle the workload because it was Boaz's field, and Boaz was the provider. The burden didn't crush her, even though she was laboring night and day, because it was a burden carried with a burgeoning love and a tempered redeemer, who was Boaz. And the same is with you, and the same is with me. It's the same with us. First, we must be sure that we're laboring with the right owner and in the right field. We must be yielded enough to the Holy Spirit to be led by him to the right field. And I'm kind of, obviously, you know what I mean. I'm speaking metaphorically. The question for you tonight, the question for me tonight is, who are you working for? Who are you working for? Who are you laboring for? I'm talking to you, Christian. Are we laboring somewhere where God has not asked us to be? I'm certain that Ruth could have gleaned hard enough and long enough to provide enough food for herself and Naomi. God made the law for provision. And so Ruth could have accomplished it. But imagine the dangers and the perils and the meagerness that would have accompanied that labor. Follow me. Sure, she would have had the success at the goal of feeding themselves, her and Naomi, but it wouldn't have been an actual outpouring of abundance. Are we in Boaz's field, Christ's field? I'm certain that many of you would be able to succeed in the labor that you're doing right now, even if it was, if you will, the wrong field. But it's a dangerous thing to be working for something God hasn't called us to. D.L. Moody said, our greatest fear shouldn't be failure, but success at something that doesn't matter. That's scary. And as Christians, we need to make sure that we're working in the right field, that we're working for the right master. You can't have two masters if you're a Christian. You're gonna love one and hate the other. Jesus, our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, has abundance for you in his field. he also has protection and provision. And on top of that, the burden of the labor will be light, not because it isn't hard, but because of his presence and love for us while we labor. Think of Boaz's words and actions. Oh, how they must have lifted the weight of labor for Ruth. I mean, can you imagine how she pranced around the field after having lunched and just, this is great. I wouldn't be rather doing anything else. Some of us as Christians are like, I am crushed under the burden of what I am responsible to carry in this moment. And we have to ask ourselves, who are we working for then? Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is our Boaz. He wants to comfort you as you labor for him with his words. He has a word for you tonight, tomorrow, what is of comfort as you work hard for him. It's not that you don't get to work hard. It's not that you get to slough off your burden and just say, oh, because I'm loving Jesus and working in Jesus' field, I don't have a burden. No, that's not it. It's that you're working in a place and out of love and in the presence of the one that you love, that your burden becomes light because you're working for Jesus in his field. As Boaz, Jesus, he's going to provide for us just like he did his favored subject, Ruth. Just imagine when Boaz walked by. Do you remember what he said? Who is that? And they told him, that is the servant. She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. What does that tell us? That Boaz's eyes were drawn to Ruth. And I want to let you know tonight that Jesus' eyes are drawn to his servants. He notices you. But if you are living life for yourself, working in the wrong field, how is Boaz to notice you? How are you to be protected as you go through life's difficult work? He is not going to remove the burden, but he will lighten your burden and give you joy as you walk. And you will be delighted and ready to serve others, just as Ruth was delighted to serve Naomi. What did she do when she walked into the house? Did she go and hide her portion in her room and then carry out 20 pounds for Ruth? No, she set it there. Let's read it. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. That is a direct reference to the grain that Boaz gave her, the roasted grain up earlier in that chapter. She gave her everything. She just got done working all day, people. Why is she so happy to serve? Why is she so lighthearted? Because the owner of the field is Boaz, and she got to eat lunch with Boaz. You must be in his field, and you must be laboring for him, not for another. I want to make a couple other observations of why her burden was so light. The first one is that she was spending time with Boaz as she worked. She was getting to know this worthy man. It was the delight and admiration of him that kept her feet light in the work that was her lot in life. Some of you might be thinking right now, you don't know my work. You don't know my labor. You don't know my burden, John. I don't. But surely there would have been drudgery for Ruth without such a noble and worthy hero to take note of her. We must be careful to be spending time with Jesus, our Boaz, as we labor. There is no doubt that work is difficult. Yet falling in love with Jesus will make the labor sweet and seem as though it were not work at all. You remember what Jacob said about Rachel and describing the 7 years. It wasn't like a day because of his love for her. As Boaz said to Ruth, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So our Boaz, Jesus, invites us to dine with him, to fellowship with him, and to experience his love. Gang, listen, many of you are laboring. You're laboring in your home, you're laboring at work, you're laboring here at Metro, you're laboring in the grocery store with kids hanging off of you, you're laboring as you come to church. You're laboring night and day. If you're not spending time with Jesus, and when he says, "Come over here, dip your bread in the wine that I have prepared for you for lunch," you're going to be in trouble. Your burden's going to feel heavier than it is. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." He wants to fellowship with you, just like Boaz wanted to with Ruth. Let me find the verse. I'm sorry, but I want to read it to you. It says in verse 14, "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.'" And some of us are laboring so hard and in such a way that we might not respond to Jesus' invitation to come and sup with him, to actually fellowship with him. And that is going to make your burden heavy. He doesn't say he's going to take it, but there's something about eating with Jesus and fellowshipping with him that makes your burden light. Matthew again says, "Come to me." There's something about being in the presence of our Boaz that lightens any burden. And it also says that Ruth ate with Boaz until she was satisfied. Again, verse 14 at the end says, "And she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over." She was satisfied and sustained for the work by the hand of Boaz and from the food and the drink that he provided. There is nothing that will satisfy you and sustain you and I in the labor of this life like fellowship with Jesus Christ. He'll remind you why you fell in love with him. Just think of Ruth. Just think of her face and how she glowed when she walked into that room with Naomi. Why? Was it because she wasn't carrying 40 pounds from a field that she had worked with in all day? No, that was the case. It was because she was able to fellowship and be satisfied by Boaz, to be comforted by Boaz. Perhaps you have not paused as Ruth did to sit with your Boaz, Jesus Christ, to be satisfied by him in the midst of your labor. The second observation of why her burden didn't seem light, even though it was a big deal, is that the fruit of her labor was shared completely. Work is never so light, despite its difficulty, when its object is another person. It's like a parent can work long hours with joy in a job he cares little for because he knows that his children are going to have new shoes and perhaps they can enjoy a trip to the ocean. Likewise, think of the huge amount of people serving here at Metro on any given service, even on tonight's like tonight, even on nights like tonight. Imagine if each were here serving and working only for their satisfaction. How long would it last? Selfishness, hear me on this one. Selfishness is a terrible and excessive yoke to drag along. This wasn't Ruth's burden. Self-righteousness is a massive burden. Self-preservation is an untenable burden. any labor with the goal of self-pleasure or self-satisfaction or self-preservation is a burden that is eventually going to drive the carrier into the ground, crushed by its weight. And I know that you might be thinking, how do I apply this? I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to apply that into your life in those small areas that you might be doing something in your life for you, and then wondering why it's so tough. Maybe it's even the way that you parent your children. Maybe it's in the way that you perform at work, and you just come home so stressed to your family that it's like, dad's here, but he's not here. I want to encourage you to ask yourself why you're working. Because if it's just for you, your self-preservation, your promotion, you're looking good, it's going to be a heavier burden. If your labor is with Jesus for others, it's sustained by him. Just think of Hebrews 6:10 where it says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the labor that you have shown for his name and serving the saints as you still do." And when we're serving saints through in that labor of love, he is going to not only sustain us, but he's remembering it. He's pleased by it. He's blessed by that. And he's going to sustain you. All of this was because being able to eat with Boaz, dine with him, spend time with him, and then ultimately be able to bring it to help sustain Naomi was because she was in the right field. She was led by God for his purpose to that field. We should not miss that. D.L. Moody says, God knows us and made us on purpose for his purpose. It is critical that you are yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit so you don't end up in the wrong field working for the wrong owner. His purposes for you and your ability to carry them out depend on your desire and decision to be led by the Holy Spirit of God into the right fields. You got to know that God is leading you. That's one of the things that Christians need to be aware of. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." As Christians, when asked who we worked with, we ought to be able to say, "I have been working with Jesus. This is how I've labored night and day, not fallen down. That is how I have obtained these abundant blessings. That's how I've been able to parent my kids. That's how I've been able to serve at church. That's how I've been able to keep myself pure and set aside. Because I've been working with Jesus. He has comforted me. He has sustained me. He has satisfied me. He has supplied my needs in abundance, and he has protected me." If you're weary, rest a while and fellowship with Jesus. He is your Boaz, and he is very interested in you. At the end of the portion that we're looking at tonight, the question is from her mother-in-law, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked?" And Ruth's answer is, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." It's important for you and I as Christians to be able to say, "The man I worked with today was Jesus Christ." He's the only one that is going to be able to sustain us. Not just, "Oh, I used to work with Jesus," or "I used to sit down with Jesus," or "I used to be comforted by Jesus," or "I used to be able to do amazing things through Jesus. But today, I worked with Jesus." It's not enough just to be doing the work. You cannot afford to just say, "Well, I did this. I served here. I did my duties as a husband. I did this." The work is always going to be there. We must be working with Jesus to preserve the work of our marriage, our parenting, our holy living, keeping the lawn mowed, paying our bills, being sweet when our husbands come home, being gentle with our words when we come home to our wives. This is not easy work, but when we're working with Boaz, we can do it. And not only can we do it, but we can do it with a lightness of heart that when people see us, they're like, who were you with? Who were you working with? Where were you at? And we'll say with Jesus, with our Boaz. I think it's so critical as people who are laboring day and night to understand the importance of that question, who are you working with? And you got to be in the right field to be able to answer that. I'm going to close in prayer. We've finished really early tonight. And I want to encourage you just to spend some, just a few moments that you have. If this is your first time here, we'll grab your wife, grab your husband, and just spend a couple minutes in prayer. And then you can go grab your kids. If you need to grab them now, that's fine too, of course. But let's close in prayer and bring some of these things before the Lord.